You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
At this right play, Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts
cranks one left field.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to an afternoon edition of Dodgers Dugout Live, the Dodgers Nation post-game show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. And thanks for rocking with us. Shortly after the Dodgers lose to the Minnesota Twins by a final score of 3-2, they split their first road trip of the season, going 3-3. Their record drops to 10-5. Still looking okay. First team to 10 wins, but a lot of missed opportunities in this game. You had an opportunity to tie the game late. We're going to break down the play, the perfectly executed relay by Carlos Correa, gunning down Shohei Ohtani at the plate. Really just a fantastic throw. You have to tip your cap. Yes, Carlos Correa, he is someone that is very unpopular amongst Dodgers fans, but that throw was on the money. Really a beautiful baseball play right there, and he just beat Shohei Ohtani, which would have tied the game. We're going to break down that play. Also, Bobby Miller, some more growing pains for Bobby Miller. Not his best start, better than his last start, where on his birthday, he struggled mightily against the Chicago Cubs, wasn't able to get out of the second inning, and he gave up those five runs there. But he was dealing with a lot of traffic today, more traffic than the 405 freeway during rush hour. He had 8 base runners, did limit the damage to 2 runs, and unfortunately, just didn't give them the length. Bobby goes 4 innings, allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, had 4 strikeouts, threw 73 pitches, 41 for strikes. He was falling behind on counts. He was 11 for 18 on first pitch strikes, and he just didn't have the feel for that breaking stuff. Didn't have the feel for the changeup, didn't have the feel for the curve and the slider as much as you wanted him to. And after that first start of the season where he threw 11 strikeouts and looked dominant out there, you were hoping for a better performance, but this is a necessary evil for the Dodgers and Bobby Miller. You have to go through starts like this one. We're going to break down a start a little more in depth here in just a second, but really off the top, this time last year, Bobby Miller throws like this, and he has a lot of traffic on the base paths, and he's giving up a leadoff home run to Edgar Julian to start the game. You might see him have a meltdown. You might see him give up, you know, 5 runs and 6 runs, and that's it. Well, he did buckle down. He grinded his way and was able to at least limit that damage. But as always, let me know, what are your biggest takeaways? What's your biggest takeaway, not just from this game, but from this series and this road trip for your Los Angeles Dodgers? Do you think that Bobby Miller is going to have some rocky times ahead, or do you think, okay, he's going to get back on track and start looking like that ace that he did in his first start of the season? Well, is that in the comments? Also, where you represent Dodgers Nation from, let me know down below. Dave Roberts at his worst again, from Gregory Peach over on YouTube. Michael Carrillo, we need to talk about how our manager might actually be dumb. So you guys going hard on Dave Roberts today. Look, I mean, you put up 2 runs, right? You put up 2 runs in this one. The pitching, save for 1 bad pitch from Alex Vesia, who allowed the second bomb of the day to Julian, Yeah, I mean, you give up three runs and you score two runs. I mean, yeah, the really, like I've been saying the last couple of weeks, the recipe for the Dodgers is having your starting pitcher go at least five or six innings. When you do that, you're going to win a ton of games. They haven't lost a game where their starter has gone six innings. They've only lost one game where their starter has gone five innings. So you need a little more length, but even so, you give up three runs. I mean, you would expect this offense to do a better job, especially the guy Chris Paddock. He only got two runs in 4 2/3 off Chris Paddock, and that Twins bullpen, I mean, you throw out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 relievers out there that covered a ton of innings, and they didn't allow a run. Only three hits after that. So, yeah, they just didn't get it done offensively. You really needed to have some better at-bats, and I think we're going to break this down a little more depth here. Early on, you had some missed opportunities. But let's dive into the comments, and then we're really going to dive and sink our teeth into this one. But thanks for joining us here on this afternoon edition of the Dodgers Nation post-game show. By the way, if you're new to the channel, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers postgame show here on YouTube. And also, make sure you're subscribed and you comment done down below so you're eligible for all of our giveaways. We're giving away a jersey coming up. We set a Mookie Betts. I'm trying to have it changed to a Tyler Glass now out of that 14 strikeout performance. But still, nonetheless, we're giving away an authentic Dodgers jersey. But here we go. We got Dave Roberts needs to do better. That's from Tian Gang. We got FWDFDFSA. That's like one of those like default names. I'm not mad at having Vessi and Grove pitch on days like these. I know it wasn't the only one anticipating the home run once Vessi took the mound. Nando, what up, Nando? Says DFA Vessi, Lux, and Taylor. Man, you're just ready to send everyone packing, man. You're, hey, get out of here. Let's pack your bags. They'll drive you to the airport. What up, Dodgers Nation? What's up, Beerus Samba? Thanks for rocking with us here. David Morales, Miller struggle and Roberts got punched in the face so much for relying on analytics and homers. Michael Hoffer, Yanks got to 10 wins in 12 games. It took the Dodgers 14. Yankees look pretty good. I've been watching a good amount of Yankees lately. Nando 390. And that, one couple comments on that, though, Michael, is this Dodgers team, they're not even close to firing all cylinders. You haven't gotten consistent production from the bottom of your lineup. You have bullpen pieces, key bullpen pieces that you're missing right now. Guys like Brusdar, Gratterall, and Blake Trinan. You were hoping for JP Fireisen to be an impact reliever early on. He hasn't even gotten his opportunity and really found his footing at the point where they see an opportunity for him. And then also, you just have too much inconsistency across the board defensively, in my opinion. And also, you have all these other teams that are playing up to the Dodgers, right? Like Mookie Betts said during Dodger Fest, it is every team's World Series, and we've seen some just miraculous defensive plays against the Dodgers. But hey, no excuses. Baseball is going to baseball. And considering all that, I'd take a 10-5 record, a 10-5 record, especially when you split those two games in another country in Korea, and you're still integrating the new pieces, and they've performed very well in Teoscar and Shohei Ohtani. Mookie got up to a fantastic start at the beginning, and he is someone that you can rely upon as well. So it's still early. You got young guys you're relying on in Grove and Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller, and you're still just trying to put it all together. So the fact that you have a really nice record and you're still sitting pretty at 10-4, 10-5 without that, I think you can feel pretty good about this, knowing their best baseball is ahead of them. Iris K says CT.038. Have some thoughts on Chris Taylor in just a minute. But yeah, I mean, look, you are what your numbers say you are. And Chris Taylor is performing very poorly at the plate. You hate to see this, because if you know Dodger baseball, you know that Chris Taylor is someone who is extremely capable of snapping out of a slump like this and going on a tear for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks and hitting home runs and hitting doubles. But this is one of his worst dry spells that we've seen. I mean, this is very, very bad as far as his lack of production, not going out there and putting the bat on the ball. The strikeout rate is sky high. He just looks out of sync from a mechanical standpoint. He just really, frankly, having difficulty just putting the bat on the ball and putting the ball in play really in any capacity or for a productive out or even a base hit of any kind. So it's definitely concerning for sure. The good thing is, look, it's not like he's someone that's asked to be a big time role for this team. It's not like he's a starter, right? I mean, he's someone that is supposed to fill in at multiple positions as the Dodgers need it. But what up, D-Mac from Fernando? Barnes is the best 7-9 hitter. We're in trouble. Yeah, look, I mean, that goes two ways. I mean, Austin Barnes, he ends up going 0-3, had a walk today. But he's looked better to start the season. But yeah, like I said, I mean, what did I say a couple weeks ago? It's the meme. It's the horse meme, right? It's the horse meme where it's all drawn nicely at the beginning, and then what happens? I mean, it starts to tail off, right? It starts to tail off, and you can't have that. You need a little more production from the bottom half of your lineup to really put this all together. I mean, the big for three, the MV3 plus Will Smith, the Mount Crushmore, can't do it all by themselves. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is what I'm talking about. This, to me, is the Dodgers lineup right now. Look, you got the horse. Look at it. There you go. The front part here to my left, there's Mookie, there's Otani, and there's Freddie, and then there's a little bit. You got Will Smith and Teoscar Hernandez there in that front portion, and then it starts to just tail off, and by the end, it looks like a two-year-old drew it, right? You just cannot have that. You have to have more consistency because Mookie and Otani need more base runners to work with when they're at the plate. So, yeah, I've been saying that for weeks, and hopefully that turns around. The good thing, too, another hit today for James Outman. He had two home runs in this series. I feel really good about where James Outman is at, and he's someone that's going to figure things out. And the good thing about James Outman is when he starts to get it going, it's not just singles and the occasional double. When Outman gets it going, it's home runs, it's bombs, it's doubles, right? So that's how you really have to look at this if you're a Dodger fan right now. You got one guy that plays a premium position that goes out there into the center field spot, playing at a above average level, great range. He's getting it done. He's even getting better at that position as he acclimates to all the ballparks and playing at the major league levels, getting more confidence. But he's figuring it out at the plate, and today he gets a base hit off a lefty. So I'm hoping for James Outman that he's not going to be platooned as much because he's been sitting for the most part against lefties this season. But down below in the comments section, what are your thoughts on Chris Taylor? What should they do about Chris Taylor? Because you know my boy Miggy Vargas. Miggy Vargas is raking down there. Taylor Lux Invest, you've been struggling real bad. That's from Samuel. And Mr. G, done. Let's go, Dodgers. Let's go, D-Mac from Whittier. What's up, Mr. G? Appreciate you rocking with us as always. And definitely give you that Lex, let's go, Dodgers. Because, hey, I feel like it was a little bit of a disappointing road trip because they could have easily gone 5-1. I think they should have swept this series. And the 7-9 game that they lose on Friday, where James Outman just missed tying the game at the end, you really felt like they could have won that one as well. But yeah, it is absolutely let's go Dodgers. But a couple more here, and then we're going to dive into this one. Reppin' Dodgers from Pomona, California, BC. He's only in the team for defense. That's from BC. They got Roy Rhodes. Need to get Vesia out of here. Grizzly, reppin' from the 951 Temecula. D-Mac, I'm still worried about a relief pitching. It's a valid concern until they all get healthy. Let's be honest here. But the good thing is, you got horses like Tyler Glass now and Yamamoto, and Paxton looks good. I think Grove went out there as a reliever, and he actually had his best day of the season. Some nice punch-outs there. He was finally able to get Julian right. Vesia is horrible. Looks like we traded the wrong lefty to the Yankees. Of course, you're referring to our boy Mr. Caleb Ferguson. And yeah, I mean, Ferguson and Victor Gonzalez both on the Yankees there, former Dodgers, so we'll see. We got Nando says K, Chris Taylor, but he's spelling the Chris with a K. Okay, Chris Kaler, swing and miss Chris. I've heard them all. Vesia are sabotaging this team. 300 GJW. I guarantee the Dodgers will lose between another 50 and 60 games, folks. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, I mean, it's baseball, right? Today was one of those it's just baseball type of games. Ban the Roberts haters. That's from Daniel. Look, this show, we hear all the voices. I like it like that because I want to hear all the different Dodgers opinions, right? This is Dodgers Nation. Everyone's opinions are heard. I mean, if you're offending people and that kind of stuff, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I like to have an open space. That's why I got your comments on the screen, right? That's important to me that you guys have a voice in all this, for sure. Iris K, no lie, I'm in love with Glass now. You, yeah, get in line. Yes. So is my mom. So is my wife. Everyone loves Tyler Glass now. He was Glass. Wow. Everyone was saying that yesterday. I thought that was hilarious. What's up, D-Mac? What up, Dawson James? We got to bottom of the line. The Dodgers' bottom is not produced. That's from Craig Osterberg. IB Stroken Vesia is the new Pedro Baez. Either great or bad. No in between. Yeah, that's definitely a really apt comparison in the sense that there were times when Pedro Baez went out there like, oh my goodness, this guy's elite. He's a great reliever, right? And then
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For times where, one, it would take 55 seconds in between pitches. I mean, this guy probably announces retirement the day the pitch clock was incorporated. But, yeah, I mean, definitely there's that variance there for sure. Absolutely. It's a great take right there. 275 vet RLTW. Dodgers lost a game. It's the end of the world. Such drama. Come on, 275. Let's chill out with that stuff. Denny Cortez. Shohei San just wilded out trying to win because he's on a better team. I mean, you're seeing hard hit ball after hard hit ball. But let's start with the play that really changed the game. The play that changed the game was deep in the game. You had an opportunity to tie it. Shohei Ohtani, he gets on base. He's on first, two outs, seventh inning. And Ohtani's right there. He's representing the tying run. You have Freddie Freeman. He cranks a double to the right field corner. Ebel, he waves home Ohtani. And unfortunately for the Dodgers, it was a perfectly executed play. Let's take a look at it right here. So you had Ohtani on first. Freddie, boom, cranks that double. Goes right into the right field corner. And you just see this. Correa, perfect exchange, perfect throw, and he's in there by a hair, just a couple inches. It looked like he was safe. He was ruled safe. And then the first time you saw the replay, it was clear that he was out. There was no doubt about it. And just unfortunately, I hate to do this, and I'll never do this because Carlos Correa, he's someone who, polarizing player, he's a Dodgers villain for life. Well, guess what? The man just made the freaking play of the day. And that's the reason. Look, the Dodgers score right here. I guarantee you they're winning this baseball game. Dodgers find a way to get this run across. You're feeling really, really good about putting more runs. But also give credit to Kirilloff, the right fielder there. He makes a really good play on it as well. And look, sometimes you're just going to have to tip your cap. And that's a Platinum Glove award-winning shortstop that just made a perfect throw. And the Dodgers weren't a threat after that. But like most games, they're won and lost early in the game. And the Dodgers had so many opportunities in this one to put runs across early and really get to Paddock. But unfortunately, they weren't able to. And it started right there in the top of the first inning. Mookie Betts hit a leadoff single. Ohtani walked on four pitches. So the Dodgers had runners on first and second. No outs. Freddie Freeman on a 1-1 pitch. He flies to center. And then next batter, Teoscar Hernandez, first pitch, he's aggressive. He doubles to right. That scores Betts. Ohtani ends up at third. The Dodgers take an early 1-0 lead. And then you have two on, runners on second and third, one out. And then Max Muncy, 2-1 pitch. He grounds the pitcher on a changeup on the outer half, some soft contact. And then Kike Hernandez, he gets himself deep in the count early on an 0-2 pitch. He pops out on a curveball. So Kike Hernandez is another one of those guys who, bottom of the lineup, he is struggling. I mean, he's not producing like you would hope in his opportunities right now on the season. Kike Hernandez, he's hitting 192. And look, I won't take a victory lap because I never thought that Kike was going to come back and be an MVP or an all-star. But like I said, the best you can hope for Kike Hernandez is that he is a above average defender at multiple positions and a slightly below average bat. And I'm not even saying average bat. I'm saying slightly below average because yes, he performed better with the Dodgers at the plate offensively than he did with the Red Sox, where he was atrocious dealing with that sports hernia and everything he was dealing with last season, but he's still grayed out as a below average bat in his time with the Dodgers. So for me, it's just taking advantage of his versatility, taking advantage of some pop off the bench, and then hopefully he catches Byron gives you a big hit when his heartbeat stays slow in the postseason. But you can't expect him to be this offensive dynamo. That's just not who he is. So yet opportunities there in the first, and you didn't capitalize. I mean, they should have put up a crooked number there and really put the pressure on and ran away with this one. But unfortunately, you weren't able to capitalize on all those base runners. And then bottom of the first inning, 3-1 count to Edgar Julian. And Julian, he hits a bomb. That ties things up at one. Four-seam fastball, little too much of the plate, kind of left a little up. And sometimes with Bobby Miller's fastball, this one was at 97. Doesn't have a ton of movement on it. Doesn't have a ton of spin on it. And look, these are big league hitters. They're going to hit pitches like that out, right? Next batter, Correa, he singles to right. And thankfully, Bobby bounced back, and he got Kirilloff to ground into a double play. And then he bounces back, and he strikes out Buxton. Really, really nice pitch. Got him looking at a slider in the zone. Was speeding him up. Then he slowed him down. He had that four-seam fastball working both sides of the plate. So really nice job to get out of that inning. Just two hits, one run. So good job by Bobby Miller there. Then bottom of the second, more traffic for Bobby Miller. He walks Margot on 9 pitches. Then he walks Martin on 7 pitches. And you saw that at bat. I mean, he was struggling to hit that slider. He was missing glove side with the slider. He was missing with that four-seam fastball down in the zone. Wasn't hitting his spots. And then to Martin, same thing. Just wasn't able to command that changeup in the zone and work off with that four-seam fastball. Next batter with runners on first and second, Santana pops to third, and then he bounces back and he strikes out Vasquez with a four-seam fastball up in the zone. So, yeah, give him credit. I mean, he was using the punch out to get out of tough spots. He was using the double play ball to get out of tough spots. And then the next batter, Farmer, he grounds to pitcher. So, I mean, look, he had runners on first and second, no outs, and he limited the damage, gave up no hits and no runs in that inning. Then top of the third, Freeman drew a two-out walk, and then Teoscar Hernandez, he strikes out on a fastball on the outer half, so couldn't take advantage of a base runner there. Then bottom of the third inning, Julian, who was just absolutely, this was the Edgar Julian game for the Twins, he was absolutely unstoppable today, out there just looking like the best player in baseball, and he singled to right to start the third, and then Correa, he singles, so he gives a back-to-back singles, four-seam fastball, catching too much of the plate, the changeup staying up in the zone, and then he comes back to strike out Kirilloff with the four-seam fastball, just challenging him. I think that was his best four-seam fastball of the day. Four-seam fastball was pounding the zone, and then next hitter, you got runners on first and third, Byron Buxton, he singles to left. That ends up scoring another run. Julian scored. That put the Twins up 2-1, and that was not the worst pitch. I mean, it was a little slider cutter action, a little bit off the plate, and Buxton just went out there and got it. Really nice piece of hitting. So it wasn't the worst pitch, and you got to give him credit there. Then he gets out of it, gets Margot to line to center. Martin grounds to third. Top of the fourth inning, Max Muncy, who couldn't help the Dodgers out earlier in the game with runners in scoring position, he leaves the yard. Let's take a look at that. Boom! 1-1 pitch. Maximum Muncy. He goes out there and just crushes a dinger. His second of the season. Changeup up. He just lifts it. And Max Muncy, you hope that he gets going from a power standpoint and he's leaving the yard with a little more regularity, because I need my 30. I need my 30 homers from Max Muncy. And it seems like he's been up in opportunities. I don't know what his batting average is with runners in scoring position. I'm actually going to check that right now. But he has had multiple chances during this game and throughout this series to really put the Dodgers on top, and really hasn't taken full advantage of that. And then you go to the fourth inning with Bobby Miller, and Miller, he's back out there. He's been laboring, and he hopefully was going to settle down, right? And you're hoping to get at least 5 innings, maybe 6 if he has an efficient one. Goes back out there in the bottom of the fourth inning, and he goes 1-2-3. I mean, he struck out Santana looking. Really nice pitch right there. the changeup. They're probably his best one, the one on the corner. He walks Vasquez on four pitches, struggling with that four-seam fastball command, the curve, and then he gets Farmer to ground into the double play to get out of the inning. So he just didn't have the feel for his stuff. That was just kind of the bottom line for Bobby Miller in this one. Not enough offense from the Dodgers' bats today. Not enough good at-bats. Another 11-strikeout game for the Dodgers in this one. And, yeah, I mean, you need some more production. How about this? So, this year, Max Muncy, he's hitting .238 with runners in scoring position. So, they need more from Max Muncy. They need him to step up. So, got the game in hand. And you're thinking, look, this Dodgers offense is going to explode, but unfortunately, they weren't able to get it done. And they had one more threat late in the game that you were hoping, okay, this is it. This is the inning, top of the ninth inning. Taylor, he struck out swinging. Smith, he singles to left after he pinch hit for Gavin Lux. That was a good move by Dave Roberts. And then Barnes, he grounded into a fielder's choice to second. Great hustle by Austin Barnes to make it to first. And then you're one bat away from getting Shohei Ohtani up there with runners on first and second. You got the tying run there on first. You could have had the tying run in scoring position. And Mookie Betts on a 3-1 count, slider, middle of the zone. He pops to short to end the game. So you're hoping to at least get Ohtani at bat there, but unfortunately, it just was not the Dodgers' day in Minnesota. But we're going to focus completely on your comments right here. What are your comments? What are your big takeaways from the Dodgers series? For me, my biggest takeaway from this series is starting pitching. And we've seen it. Like I said, the Dodgers have lost one game this series this season when you've had at least five from a starter. Today, you get four, you lose, right? It's the secret. It's the recipe for their success. And yes, you say you give up three runs and you hope to win, but still, I mean, it's the recipe for their success because Alex Vesia, like we talked about earlier, you guys are talking about Alex Vesia, bottom of the fifth inning, another leadoff home run for Julian, and it's a four-seam fastball that caught too much of the zone. So when Alex Vesia misses, he has to be so fine, so precise. Anything in the zone with Vesia, if he's not hitting his spots, they're hitting it, and they're hitting it hard, and that is the concern. So I definitely think that you're going to have to monitor Alex Vesia. You're going to have to monitor Gavin Lux. You're going to have to monitor Chris Taylor. I mean, these are the guys that are on the list of, okay, let's see how they're doing. Let's give them their opportunities, but we are looking at them very closely to see if we need to explore some options. We got Tyler O'Neill at the deadline. Hey, Tyler O'Neill, he's crushing with the Red Sox. So he's a guy we've actually talked about on this show quite a bit, Justin Lamas. You know that, and I would not be opposed to that. But we'll see. The Red Sox have been a little bit of a surprise team. They're out with Story, the never-ending story of injuries for him with the Boston Red Sox. CT3 got his bat frozen after the polar bear plunge. Iris K just coming in, just absolutely dunking on Chris Taylor. I don't know how I feel about that, but you know I respect a good bird, a good take, so I'm going to have to give you the finish him for that finish one. Him. But of course, the top three are going to play good. They play every day. The bottom of the lineup, they play inconsistently. Fire Dave Roberts ASAP. Team Ruiz. If you're going to pin the lineup construction on Dave Roberts, that is just really, unfortunately, representative of not knowing how the Dodgers are constructing their lineup. I mean, it's a collaborative process. It's a collaborative methodology where they go out there and it's the analytics department, it's the front office. Dave Roberts is not sitting there by himself making these lineups. Okay, that's just not how it works for this organization. So you can't pin that on him. What's up, D-Mac? Vesia looked frustrated in the interview. Did he? I actually did not see the interview. But Alex Vesia on the season, you really need him to be that lefty that they can trust in big spots. And can you trust him on a World Series winning team? You guys know how I feel about that. I mean, I've discussed this. And Vesia is someone who you have to trust, at least that we have seen him in the past get it together and go on long stretches where he turns it on and he feels like he's unhittable against lefties. But the big concern for me is just the advanced stuff, the expected stuff, it's not good. I mean, if you look at his ERA, it sits at 4.05, right? But the FIP is doubled at 8.18. The expected FIP is 6.64. The walk rate, 8.10. The strikeout numbers, they're under 10. The BABIP, too, the BABIP is 0.077. So all this is to say that a lot of the numbers that gauge how you should be performing are actually saying that he should be performing worse than he actually is. So that really tells you that you're seeing some hard contact. You're seeing Alex Vesia kind of miss his spot during certain situations. You guys know how I feel about possibly upgrading and going with a Tanner Scott at some point if he becomes available. And you don't have a lot of guys that have performed well against lefties in their splits. The Ryan Braziers, the Blake Trinans, since he's been with the Dodgers, Bruiser Gratterall, Evan Phillips. I don't care, though. You need a Trinan true lefty. I don't care what anyone says, right? I mean, the good thing, I mean, the expected ERA is in the 47th percentile. I mean, the expected batting average is okay for sure. It's definitely good, 95th percentile. You feel okay about that and the whiff percentage. But he's just not missing barrels enough. I mean, the 6th percentile. So, yeah, I mean, remains to be seen if he can put together a really, really long quality stretch. I'm waiting to see if he can do that. And I think that if you're the Dodgers, last season you were saying, okay, we're guaranteed to try to go for a starting pitcher, right? They wanted Eduardo Rodriguez. They ended up getting Lance Lynn, Ryan Yarbrough. And you wanted to get some more bats. They had Rosario, Kike Hernandez. You brought in Joe Kelly. This deadline, yes, if a starting pitcher becomes available and a guy goes down, you're going to consider that. Let's not forget, you got Kirsch coming back. You got Buehler coming back. You got May possibly coming back. But a premier bullpen piece, I think, is going to be one of the targets. And I don't think they're going to settle with, okay, we're going to try to strike gold on a Ryan Brazier, Chris Martin type. I don't think that they're going to necessarily put all their eggs in that basket. They might get a guy like that for sure. Absolutely. But, like, I mean, yesterday, Connor Brogdon, he had some really nice stuff at certain times, but unfortunately, he gave up 2 home runs. But it's going to take some time for him to implement the teachings of the Dodgers pitching development coaches and Connor McGinnis and Mark Pryor. But still, I think they're going to go out for a brand name style reliever if he becomes available. Let's dive into more of your comments here. What are your big takeaways from the Dodgers series split? A series in which they could have gone 5-1. They end up 3-3. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. They take 2 out of 3 against the Twins. I think they should have taken 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, and I think they should have swept the Minnesota Twins. These teams will get bounced in the playoffs. They don't know how to give the kill shot. That's from John. They don't know how to give the kill shot. I think, look, they have the guy that can, though. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is literally hitting the ball harder than any player in baseball by a landslide. He's dominant. They've never had a hitter like Shohei Ohtani. I mean, the hardest hit balls by the Dodgers this year. You ready? Shohei Ohtani, 115.8 miles per hour. Shohei Ohtani, 114 miles per hour. Ohtani, 113.9 miles per hour. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The 7, 8 hardest hit balls of the year are all by Shohei Ohtani. They've never had that on this team. As good as Freddie is, as good as Mookie Betts is, those guys are not Shohei Ohtani because there is no Shohei Ohtani. This guy is one of one. So I think he's someone that can deliver the kill shot, and I think it's about finding that production at the bottom of the lineup that can put more base runners on and put him in more run-producing opportunities, and I still feel good about this team because of that, and also the addition of Teoscar Hernandez, who's looked the part as well. The guys that haven't been here that aren't the Will Smiths and Freddie Freemans and those types that they added, they're going out there and they're excelling, and they're hitting, and they're producing, and I think that you're getting that. Umpires are horrible. That's from history's time tunnel. Roberts needs to go always. That's from Jason Diamond. See, it got better. That, what up, SJ Woodruff over on Facebook. Thanks for rocking with us. Iris K. Bobby is still learning, so I'm giving him time. CT3, not so much. DFA Vesia, send Lux down and bring up Vargas or Páez. John, sounds like you're a fan of the show. I mean, Lux does have an option situation, obviously, and it remains to be seen how committed they are to him. Was he able to get a base hit yesterday? Today, Gavin Lux, he struck out one time, and he ends up going 0 for 1. He's hitting 175 on the season with one RBI and a 433 OPS. So 40 at-bats. So for me with Gavin.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lux, if you want a plan, let's just not just always just, you know, throw stuff out there. Let's have a plan, right? What's the plan of action? The plan of action, he's at 40 at-bats, 12 games played. Let's get to 100 at-bats. Let's talk, right? So if he's putting up these numbers at 100 at-bats, we're going to have a serious discussion about what's best for him and the team. And look, I mean, baseball is a very frustrating sport, especially when you're coming back off a really, really difficult, gruesome knee injury. It also impacted his hamstring, and he just hasn't been the same dynamic fast player as he was. And I think that long-term, I think there's a world where he benefits from getting his timing and confidence back at the plate in a situation where he can do that. Can he do that at the minor league level? So far, the answer is no. And we'll see how they address that later on. But more comments here. Rock with us here on an afternoon edition of Dodgers Dugout Live. All right, gotta get my commercial going. Jay Bullitt, Moneyball was right. Righty lefty is overrated. Vesia gives up home runs to lefties. CT3 strikes out to everyone. Yeah, I think platooning, especially in big spots, can be a little bit overrated, but still, I mean, you got to play matchups in certain situations, and the numbers don't lie. Angel Hernandez is under Tuck Rule, ref all time, worst officiating in all human sports. Yeah, Angel Hernandez. I mean, this guy, what more can you say about him? He is the goat of bad umpires. And yeah, he is that guy for sure. There's no doubt about it. Angel Hernandez, I don't hate the guy. I kind of wish he was better at his job. I mean, it's very difficult to find anyone that's that high up that really does their job at that level. It's kind of unfortunate, but still strikes in the dirt. I mean, we see for strikes. I mean, balls in dirt for strikes. It's really disappointing. Muncy chokes with runners in scoring position. Hasn't been great this year. We got a super chat insider info. Bobby will go on the IL soon. That's from Chris, $2. Well, that's not good news. I don't know your insider info there, but we'll have to circle back if that turns out to be the case. I mean, you didn't see any drops off in velocity during this start. He still has got a lot of gas left in the tank, and you just never know. I mean, with the way the pitchers are dropping like flies, and it's looking like a season of Squid Game with everyone just falling and going on the IL, unfortunately, that's the case. So, look, hopefully that doesn't happen, though. I don't want to manifest that and put that into existence. We got Roberts needs to switch to Oscar Hernandez and Max Muncy till Muncy finds his stroke. Brian, amen. I think if you don't want to bat Teoscar above Smith, he's got to bat as high as possible, and I don't care about the righty-lefty situation. I mean, this is someone who has some pop. It's funny because he hit a home run today. I mean, we're all dogging a guy who hit a home run today, okay? So let's not forget that. Max Muncy can go on stretches, but I think that Teoscar needs as many at-bats and opportunities as you possibly can to knock in the Shohei Ohtanis and the Freemans and the Betzes. And you look at Max Muncy, like I just pointed out, so far this season, yes, it's early. You have to always point that out. But 238 with runners in scoring position. You need a better mark there from someone batting at that spot in the order. Gregory Preach, why invest so much money and leave the back end of the lineup weak as a kitten? Right now, this team is overrated. I mean, Gregory, are they overrated? I think it's tough because I think that you could make the case that they've won more games they probably should have based on the production at the bottom of their lineup. But I think, too, they have a starting pitcher that's pitching as well as anyone in Major League Baseball in Tyler Glasnow. You have someone in Yoshinobu Yamamoto who, after a rocky first start in Korea, has bounced back to prove to everyone that his stuff is as nasty as ever. I just want to see a little more efficiency and length out of Yamamoto. Paxton, he's gotten the job done. You have Stone and Miller. They're the two young guys who have flashed for sure, but haven't been as consistent. And in the bottom of the lineup, hey, look, Altman, he stepped up. The rest of the guys, not so much. So it's tough to disagree with that there. But look, Miguel Vargas, the good thing is you have versatility. You have versatility with how many positions Mookie can play, and Teoscar can play multiple corner outfield positions. You have versatility to the point where if you do want to explore something, and I do think giving Miguel Vargas an opportunity to see if he can hit at this level again is something that you guys know I'm a strong advocate of because he's raking down at AAA. I think you have to go that route, and then I also think they're going to probably make a move for another impact-ish bat later in the season. My biggest swap in players out, not the best always. Let's go down. I say we explore options now with Vesia. That is from Juice Narrows. Juice Narrows, Barnes, Vesia, Grove need to be DFA'd after the game. Say you guys tell about it. Freddie looks spaced out at the plate. That's from Coda. Doug Slayton, this team is too good to allow any mistakes. Lux, CT3, Vesia, etc. would all be fired in the real world. Wow, you guys are going hard. I love it. because, look, I mean, look, we're in the overreaction business, and you guys know any loss, even though it's baseball and you're going to lose tons of games, 50, 60 games a year, more than that for some teams, it still feels like, okay, this doesn't feel good, right? Lee Vesia and Brogdon in Minnesota. Okay, yeah, just tell them to go to send their to a different airport. Kirk Kmet, every time Vesia has had a good inning, I die inside because I know he's going to give another chance to blow the game. That is from Kirk Kmet. Some more here. Straight vodka cheers. So Doug Slayton, Roy Estrada. We got another super chat from Reed Hallett. Fire Roberts, who leaves Barnes in. What are we doing? Yeah, I think they're trying to give Barnes his opportunities. They're trying to preserve Smith. And you have that DH spot locked up with Shohei Ohtani. And look, for the most part, Austin Barnes, so far this season, he hasn't been awful, right? He's given you a good, productive, big league at bat for the most part. Today, he goes 0 for 3. He did run out that one fielder's choice to keep the game going. But, yeah, so far on the season, Austin Barnes, I mean, 3 for 9. I mean, it's still such a small sample size. 3 hits, kind of the best you could hope for. Still a good amount of strikeouts, though. 4 strikeouts. And I'm not going to sit here and act like Austin Barnes is Austin Piazza or anything like that. But I think some other problems that are a little more significant, like the everyday at-bats they're getting from the bottom of the lineup. But Angel Hernandez is an avid Nate Eyes Eclipse viewer. Shane Rochester, that's the comment of the day. That's a fire take over there by Shane. I'm going to give you that because, you know, I love me some roasting of a fire take. Give you a finish in, too. Of Angel Hernandez. D-Mac, good to see you. Hydrating, can't get caught lacking. Yeah, I know. I'm a little dehydrated. 37 batting average for Chris Taylor. For sure, for sure. I mean, he needs to step it up, no doubt about it. But, guys, a couple more here, and then we're going to head out. We'll be back later. Got some interviews. Got some more stuff coming your way. We'll be back tomorrow morning for Dodgers Dugout Live. We're going to break some more stuff down. Shane Rochester, Yoshi has really changed his glove position a lot since he was tipping pitches. He's had 3 or 4 different ones. He'll be fine. Yeah, you've seen it getting closer to him, pitching better out of the stretch. This guy's a dog. But, yeah, got some big surprises later in the week, too. Paul D-Mac, what players can you see the Dodgers signing if the bottom of the order doesn't continue to produce? That's from Paul Gutierrez. I think one of the benefits of kind of going out there and trying to trading for a bat during this year, it's almost like kind of finding a bullpen piece too. You're looking to see who's having a good year, who is on a short-term contract, like who's going to go out there and provide some pop. And look, right now, I mean, we've talked about this guy in the offseason, Tyler O'Neill for the Red Sox. I mean, he has an OPS of 1394. And, of course, can play your corner outfield spots. He bats righty. He's someone that a couple years ago really had himself a really nice year from the power standpoint. Hit 34 home runs in 2021, and then he hasn't hit more than 14 since. So maybe you have a Tyler O'Neill that's closer to that, and maybe he's back. We know the Dodgers are natural trade partners with the Red Sox. I mean, maybe you go out there and you trade for Tyler O'Neill, who has one more year of team control. He's in his last arbitration year, and it Kenley Jansen. Just saying. I mean, if the Red Sox, you lost Trevor Story, Kenley Jansen, you put in that closer's role, and you have Evan Phillips now as the best high leverage reliever in the sport. So I'm just saying, throwing it out there. The Dodgers have, anytime the Dodgers show interest in a player, typically that interest sustains, right? They showed interest in Freddie Freeman for a long time. They showed interest in Mookie Betts for a long time. They showed interest in Shohei Ohtani for, it feels like, 2 decades before they ended up with him. So anytime you see that, it leads you to believe that if there's an opportunity to acquire that player later, that they will jump on that opportunity. And getting into the debate of whether it's a good thing for Kenley and the Dodgers is another thing, or a Tyler O'Neill is another thing. But that's just how it works with this organization. I see Justin Lombus saying sign Tommy Pham. Yeah, I mean, look, Tommy Pham, obviously people don't like him because of Jock Peterson. There might be a little bit of a family feud with that one. And, of course, that wasn't a good situation. Slapped him over some fantasy football. Who doesn't slap your friends over fantasy football, by the way? If you never slapped your friend over fantasy football, now guys that trade players to just almost like what Artie Moreno did the last year, right? I mean, you gotta just look, accept players for who they are. And I don't know if Tommy Pham is the right move. I was advocating for a trade for him when he was on the Mets before he went to the Diamondbacks, but do think that there is something there as far as exploring another outfield addition. Roy Estrada, appreciate this. This is great. This is going right to paying off Ipe's debt. 1999 USC. Roy says, used to buy Vesia a bus ticket to OKC. Yeah, so you're saying get ready to speak OKC if you are Alex Vesia. Of course, appreciate the 1999. Got to give you one of... Got to give you a fire take. Give you a UN. Done. But that is going to do for this episode of the Dodgers Nation post-game show. Final thoughts are a disappointing missed opportunity for the Dodgers. This road trip, they split, they go 3-3. They're sitting at 10-5, but they could have easily taken 5 out of 6. They could have easily gone 6-0 in this road trip. Baseball is going to baseball. There is no doubt about that, but you need more from the bottom of the lineup, and I think your young guys in Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller, we need to see them pick it up just a little bit, but there is a little bit of a learning curve. I think it was a necessary evil for Bobby Miller. These are some growing pains. He's taking Bobby steps, taking some Bobby steps in the right direction. But that's going to do it. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.